2 years ago, I made the decision to cut the cord on nearly all streaming services. Since then, I've had a fantastic time reconnecting with physical media, paper books, and myself. Okay, story time. It was the late 2000s. I'd been a Netflix subscriber for a while by that point, back when Netflix sent you physical discs which you'd queue up, watch, and then mail back. This was after years of being a video rental store junkie. Then, all of a sudden, around the same time I was graduating from college into no job market, Netflix launched this streaming platform where you could watch a good chunk of the catalog for less than the price of a single retail DVD. Of course I signed up. I had the app on my Nintendo Wii, and even though the video quality felt subpar compared with a nice DVD player, the value couldn't be beat, and I was hooked. Of course, when Netflix launched, it was the only major player in the space. But since then, the proliferation of streaming platforms has led to some less than ideal conditions. And I probably don't have to give you a list, but I'm gonna try.
Fracturing availability of content. Continually raising prices while providing an inadequate streaming experience. Locking out Linux users. Removing content the service finds objectionable. Algorithmically driven recommendations, which take away the natural human instinct toward discussion and discovery, further contributing to a critical thinking gap at exactly the time in human civilization when we should be expanding the ability to think for ourselves. Subpar original content.
So yeah, after about 15 years of dealing with streaming, I decided to pull the plug. Well, for the most part. I still pay for RiffTrack's Best Friends tier because I'm a Mystie for life and it's easy to support a hometown team, especially when my subscription dollars give me a heavy discount on DRM-free downloads. And I still pay for YouTube Premium in order to obliterate ads without jeopardizing Veronica Explains. See, if I even mention that you can watch ad-free with programs like Free or even from the there's a good chance YouTube takes down my video and hurts my channel in the long run. So on this one, I decided to be pragmatic in order to avoid the rigmarole, and it seems like a lot of you feel the same way. I take a small amount of comfort knowing that I'm extracting more money from YouTube than I'm putting in personally. Plus, I always put the episodes up on PeerTube if you'd rather watch there. Hint, hint. But beyond YouTube and RiffTrax, I cut streaming completely out of my life. That means no more Netflix, crummy Netflix, HBO Pro Max, and Trekamount Plus. And my family and I couldn't be happier, reconnecting with physical media and getting away from the algorithm. Now, I'm not going to tell you how you should get your media, but I have a very healthy collection of Blu-rays, DVDs, and CDs that I've picked up over my several decades of existence. I naturally come across a lot of this stuff while thrifting or hitting up garage sales, and what I can't find there, eBay makes easy enough. Just be aware that sometimes the cheapest options are counterfeits, if that's something that matters to you. I typically toss out the cheaper DVD or Blu-ray sleeves in order to save space, but I do hold on to fancier disc packaging or items where I want the nostalgia hit of occasionally putting the disc in the player and fiddling with the menus. For movies and TV shows, I typically use MakeMKV to rip the media and Handbrake to transcode and compress the files for smaller storage. I'm sure the comments will be littered with folks offering opinions on what codecs to use, but I'll share my own preferred settings over on my website, vkc.sh. Anyway, a nice thing about MakeMKV is watching Blu-rays and DVDs right from the home theater PC using MakeMKV's libraries. Your distro might need some dependencies and a Java runtime for disk menus, but once you get all that squared away, VLC typically picks them up without issue. And now I don't need to have a standalone Blu-ray player out anymore. In my opinion, MakeMKV is software that's well worth paying for. It's only $60 US, and that's cheaper than a 4K Blu-ray player. And if you want the most flexible Blu-ray experience, be on the lookout for a reader that supports Libre Drive, an aftermarket firmware for certain Blu-ray devices which removes firmware restrictions, making 4K ripping possible, as well as getting around region locks. It can be hard to find a compatible model. Years ago, I picked up this LG portable drive, and my home theater PC uses an internal ASUS model. Now, for music CDs, I typically use Asunder, a dead simple ripping program that I've seen packaged up for almost every Linux distro. Makes ripping an album into FLAC files incredibly easy. If you're on Windows or a Mac, maybe look at FreeAC? Is that how you pronounce it? When the ripping and converting wraps up, I drop the files into a shared folder on my network where Jellyfin can serve them. As of 2025, Jellyfin is my favorite server for hosting media. I never got along with Plex, and I used MBee for a while, but both of those products are less than totally free, so nowadays I skip right over them. My favorite part of using Jellyfin is that there's a simple extension for Kodi, everyone's favorite set-top box replacement software, that gives Kodi access to a Jellyfin library as though it's native. While on my computer, Jellyfin is a great media player, on my TV, I much prefer the traditional remote control-driven setup. A FLIRC receiver makes my home theater PC work easily with my ancient Logitech remote control. As far as my cell phone goes, Jellyfin currently lacks offline storage management for music, but luckily there's a front end for Android called FinAmp, which gives me a traditional music player experience, complete with offline sync. This way I don't need to open a VPN to home in order to play back my tunes. That is, when I'm not just using my iPod or my Tangara. Movies, TV, and music are only some of the battle, though. I gave up buying DRM-laden ebooks and audiobooks and decided to switch back to good old paper books. For real, have you seen these things? There's a ton of exciting features. For one, the publisher can't remove or modify sections after purchase, which is kind of awesome. Plus, if the bookstore I bought it from loses access in a rights dispute, this paper book stays in my collection. Novel, right? This isn't a novel. And it's not just traditional fiction and nonfiction texts that I've been collecting. I have a large and growing collection of manuals for software I use every day, new and old, because as we've all experienced, it's increasingly challenging to maintain reliable access to this information over the web. But this hard copy? It's always in my library, and I don't need an ad blocker to read it. All that aside, the biggest reason why I went this route, beyond all of the annoyances and the ethical concerns, is that I'm sick and tired of algorithms telling me what I would like. I'm a whole person, just like you, complicated and weird at times. I was a young adult 20 years ago before these streaming technologies really took off, and I remember distinctly how I used to have to think about what content I was going to consume. I mean, yeah, TV and radio existed, but even that was more deliberate than a world where your phone recommends clickbait to you every time you touch it. Back then, you had to think, do I want to listen to this song, or do I want to watch this movie, a lot more than you do today. Now, a corporate-driven algorithm just plays the next thing for you, and to be perfectly honest with you all, it's pissing me off. See, as a parent, it saddens me to see the algorithmic helplessness take hold amongst my peers, because I know that it's going to make the following generations have to work a lot harder to take care of us. I feel like we owe it to ourselves and to those who follow us to try and break free of algorithms which tell us what we should like, who we should believe, and how we should feel about it. It may sound melodramatic, and maybe it is, but I see the increased dependence on algorithmically driven entertainment as a symptom of that larger problem, uber convenience that separates us from our critical thinking. We're learning to abandon reason for small decisions. And wouldn't you know it, now it's easier to ignore reasons for the larger ones. I'm not here to tell you what to think. I was raised in a mind-your-own-damn-business household, and that's where my head is at. But I do want to implore all of us to think critically about how streaming media, autoplay, and the algorithm are impacting us. Not just you and me, but us. Are we losing something when we don't get to own the music that pumps us up in the morning? When we outsource the date night movie to an algorithm? When we rely on an iPad and autoplay instead of critically evaluating the media we give to our children? I'm sick of it. And since getting rid of the streaming platforms, I'm happier. Maybe you will be too. Even get into the privacy issues with smart TVs. But you know who just did? Lon Seidman. He's got a new video about it, which I'll link in the description. That'll do for this one. Until next time, this is Veronica Explains. Thanks for watching.